the weirdest cake. I made a lot of explicit cakes. I can't talk about that.
Come on.
Body parts, we'll say that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Explicit.
Ladies and gentlemen, morticians and funeral directors and cemeterians alike, today we have on the birthday girl, Kaylee. Don't think I didn't forget that it
is. Oh, jeez.
Kaylee Edwards, how are you? She's been an unbelievable supporter of everything from the mortuary store to the mortuary marketing and the mortuary show, our podcast. She's been a supporter since the very beginning. So we appreciate you, first of all.
Thank you.
All of your support. Always, if you don't remember, if you're a new follower of Mortuary Marketing, our original kind of input onto the funeral scene, as far as in public eyes, was making t-shirts and fun apparel for funeral directors, just sort of as a fun thing that my brother Connor and I did, and that snowballed into our real business, Mortuary Marketing, down the road, because we knew that's the way we were going to go, but we were kind of just dipping our toe in the water, trying to get in front of funeral homes. And it's something that we still have around, but we don't really get into as much as we used to. But Kaylee's always a big supporter of all of our fun, unique apparel.
I get a lot of compliments.
Oh, yeah. What's your favorite thing?
I get a lot of compliments on my cat skit one.
Classic. That was a good one. So for our listeners, if you haven't seen it, we made this shirt. I think it was like an orange circular shirt, maybe. Mm-hmm. And it had a casket on it with a cat on the foot end of the casket. And on the top, it says cat skit. Very witty, funny pun by us.
I love that. I get so many compliments on it. People are, that's funny. Because it is. It's clever. I like it.
Yeah, that's part of what we like to do is with all of our stuff. It's like to be clever, unique, funny, and fun, and relate to all of us, because we're from the industry, we're in the industry, and we want to be part of that. That's super important to everything we do on the business side of things, is just being able to have that connection with the funeral homes, funeral directors, because that's what it's all about. That's what
is
the lifeblood of our industry, I would say.
Absolutely.
So tell us about who you are and what you have going right now in funeral service.
So I am going on my second year at the Pittsburgh Institute of Mortuary Science. I go online, which is very helpful because, as I said to you previously, I'm married. I own a house. I wasn't able to just pick up and go.
No.
So that's very helpful if people feel like, oh, I want to go to mortuary school and I can't travel. There are online options, and I'm glad that that's available.
No doubt. It was something that was not available when I was going through things. I think COVID really kicked it up a notch. A lot of schools were dipping their toe in. They definitely had some programs. Mm-hmm. But then a few years ago now is when it really started. And I think it's such a cool thing that you're getting to go through now, and a unique, different experience. I think it's everyone's in different phases of life, especially in funeral service. Like when I was going through funeral service, there was a huge broad spectrum of ages at Worsham where I went. You had people right out of college, which is pretty much what I was. Mm-hmm. And you had people that were, this is their second, third, fourth career, and they're in their even early 50s. So you have a huge range of years and different backgrounds of people. So like you're saying, Kaylee, not everyone is just able to drop what they're doing and move close to where the local mortuary school is. Yeah. Or if you don't have one close, it's a huge different commitment. So now that we have this online option, it's super nice for people that are aspiring to go into funeral service. Tell us a little bit about what you like about it and just the different aspects of online mortuary school right now.
I like that I could work at my own pace and I could kind of almost plan my week out. If I know I'm going to have a heavy week with funerals, or even if I have appointments going on, or if I'm going to use as an example, my husband and I went to Salem, I was able to get my classes and everything done at the beginning of the week. So I was able to enjoy our trip, which is really nice. The flexibility is fantastic.
That's huge. And something that we didn't get. I'm jealous, to be honest with you, because we are, for our mortuary school, it felt like you were sort of back in high school, where you're there from 8:30 to 3:30, and you had class after class after class, a little break for lunch, whatever it was, class. And now it's catching up to speed with all the other universities throughout the United States and the world, where it's, you know, you get a little bit more flexibility with the way you want to plan out your schedule. If it's online, even more flexibility. Mm-hmm. I was talking to one of the professors. They don't like to call them professors anymore. I think they, what do they like to call them?
Instructors, I think is the word
instructors,
now.
Instructors. Yeah. But I was talking to one of them from where I went to school, and they said they're expanding their program to, if you already have taken a class before, you don't have to be there during that class, or you get credit for it. And they're trying to make it a full encompassing degree. Mm-hmm. You get something underneath your belt. You don't have to have prerequisites, all these different things that in the past was the standard. Mm-hmm. Now it's getting expanded more. And I think that's going to be really good for our industry and recruiting.
Oh, absolutely. It'll be more, people will be able to go into it quicker, especially if they don't have those prerequisites. I was lucky because I had an associate's degree in pastry arts, so I only had to get maybe 10, 12 more credits. So,
all right, we got to address that. Pastry arts, how are we going from pastry arts to funeral service? What is pastry arts? What are you talking about?
So I went to school for pastry arts. I have an associate's degree. I was a cake decorator for about 15, 16 years. I was at the same job for 17. I started 2 weeks before I turned 16.
Wow. So you love the Great British Baking Show or whatever.
I've actually never watched it.
Oh, come on.
I know the guy from the Mighty Boosh is on it, but that's about as far as I know.
I get forced, quote unquote, into watching it. And it's really good. I'm not forced at all. It's actually very captivating. I'd love to know more about it. So what did you do as a cake artist? What does that mean? Really expand on it for me.
So I made a lot of cakes. According to a lot of people, I was really good at what I did, but I was very burnt out. The workload was a lot for one person. And yeah. I felt like I was giving too much, which that's never a problem, but you need compensation for that. Mm-hmm. And then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. Hours got even longer. Days off got fewer. And I always had in the back of my head that I should go to school to be a funeral director. It was kind of the joke, like in my family, oh, Kaylee, you'd be really good at being a funeral director. You'd be really good at like cosmetizing people and doing all of that. And I would be like, oh, whatever, you know, brush it off. And then one day I was just so frustrated at work. Like people were just extra mean and it was just bad. I noticed that the local community college was waiving entrance fees because of COVID. So my husband came home. I literally said to him, babe, I'm going to go back to school to be a mortician. And he's like, all right, I think you should do that. And that's where I am.
That's what it's all about. You love to hear that support. That's a very good thing. I guess I would like to backtrack a little bit because I'm not quite satisfied about your first career.
Yeah.
What kind of cakes did you make? What was your specialty? And what was the craziest cake you ever made? And I want to hear more about it. So I can really know the real Kaylee. And then I'm just so fast.
I did a lot of sculpted things. I was really good at drawing. I'm very good at drawing things. Like, especially like if I looked at a cartoon character, I could draw that and icing. I was very good at making wedding cakes. That was one of my specialties.
Did you make your own?
Yeah. No, I did not actually.
No.
I got cupcakes from a local bakery that was really popular at the time. They were running a special about a month before our wedding. And my husband, I told him about it over text. He gave me his credit card number and said, call and order it. And so I said, all right, cool. Thanks, babe.
Easy enough.
Yeah. But the weirdest cake, I made a lot of explicit cakes. I can't talk about that.
Come on.
Body parts, we'll say that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Explicit. But the weirdest one I think I ever made was I had to put chicken wings on a cake and I had to make them crying. Yeah.
Why?
That was bizarre. I didn't ask. honestly, sometimes I like the mystery, you know?
Yeah, you get to make your own story probably in your head of why on earth does someone want a cake with this on it.
Yeah. And I also made another weird one. A woman had a tumor on her posterior region. Okay. And her daughters wanted me to make a tumor with like a scared face on it because she was getting it removed. And I said, you know what? I love that. I hope your mom has a sense of humor. Let's do this. So a lot of fun ones.
Wow, that is really cool. It gives, I mean, you have a background in art then clearly.
Yeah.
Being a mortician, there is a lot of a sense of artwork that goes into it in the prep room and actually with families too, but it's a different sort of art, but especially in the prep room.
Yeah.
What do you think is there any application for you, or do you think it in transitions and helps you in any way in funeral service?
It does. And people are often fascinated by the connection. So a lot of people use airbrush cosmetics.
Yeah.
I use an airbrush every day with cake decorating.
Oh, okay.
So I'm very versed in that. And I work in fondant as well. And sculpting is sometimes a thing. So
it's just like putty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm lucky because before I was a cake decorator, I did dabble in art. I still like to draw and paint and sculpt on my free time. So I do like to keep that creativity flowing.
Absolutely. That's key. You got to keep that passion with you. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it seemed like you got a little bit burned out of everything that you were doing and then decided, hey, let's go into mortuary school. Mm-hmm. How has the first half or so been for you in juggling things with other work as well?
So it's actually a lot easier for me now because when I was doing my prereqs, I was still working at my cake decorating job. I was working there 6 days a week, anywhere from 8 to 10 hour shifts. My day off, I was going to my other job at the funeral home and then coming home and doing the work. So now, being that it's just the funeral home and school, I have a lot more balance in my life.
That's huge. It's tough. I went through a similar thing when I was in school. I was working, I was at a gym, if you can believe it. I was working as a personal trainer while I was in mortuary school. And those days were so long. I would wake up super early in the morning to get my stuff done, whatever I needed to do. And then I would go to school and then I would have the full day of school. Then I would have to go to work, and school and work were very far away from each other. And I was gone from, I kid you not, 5 a.m. to 8:30 at night every day. And oh man, it was a hard year. It was a really hard year.
It's hard. Well worth it. Very tough.
Well worth it at this point, but you got to do what you got to do. And I think you come out the other side of challenges, a better and stronger version of yourself. That way you're able to handle more things.
Absolutely.
How do you like your classes so far? I'd love for you to expand on what it's like being in online mortuary school for anyone that's listening, that's debating going to school, or for people like me that don't know what it's about at all because we didn't have to do it. Tell us about that.
Like I said, you're able to balance your schedule very well and work at your own pace. Another thing with online schools, a lot of their lectures are recorded, which is fantastic because if you have to stop taking notes at a point and do something else, you could go back to it. And that's so helpful if you have a lot going on with your life. And especially I've talked to other students that are parents, and that's very helpful for them.
I'm sure. And then you could do it in little bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. As far as how it works, are you required to watch every lecture? Like how do the requirements work and assignments and readings? Like I'd love to know all the details about it. It's very interesting.
So you are required to watch the lectures, and oftentimes there is supplementary notes with it. And we also have discussions. Most weeks we have discussion forums, and you have to post a response and you have to reply to classmates. So there's a little bit of like question back and forth answering to show that you understand the material and to apply your own ideas to it.
Got it. That's a good way to do it, because then you're still getting that experience with your instructor and everything else. That's really good. What about for someone that doesn't work at a funeral? I know you do. How does it work with someone that does not? And I guess, how do you get your cases done as far as embalming work or funeral directing work, whatever it might be? Mm-hmm. What does that entail exactly as far
you
as
you are required to do almost like, I guess you want to call it like internship at a local funeral home. I know if you don't already have a job, which a lot of people do, which is fortunate. I believe the school helps you find a location. Mm-hmm. That one, like I said, a lot of people, including myself, either already have jobs in the industry or they have parents that own funeral homes and they're getting into it to take over.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So you have a little bit of a split in that way.
We do, yeah.
That's good. And I think it helps you be able to focus more on learning at the funeral home too, because you have a little bit more flexibility on timing. Mm-hmm. So if, let's say, the funeral home's slow, or if you're working a service and you get a little break away from the crowd, like, you have time to knock out some of your, mm-hmm. your schoolwork, I would imagine.
Yeah.
That's very, very convenient. What is the caseload like then, and how does that work? So do you have to have a certain amount of help, you know, times you've helped on an embalming or making arrangements?
You have to do at least 30. That is the requirement. And you have to sit on, which I think this is really cool, you have to sit on different kinds of services, whether it be a direct cremation, a memorial service, a military one. So there's a lot of good options there. I mean, personally, I live in a very Catholic area. The religion is predominantly Catholic. Yep. I would love to be able to experience other religions like Judaism, Hinduism.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good. It helps you make you a well-rounded funeral mm-hmm. director. It's still funeral service in general, or funeral homes in general, still they kind of hunker down and like find what works mm-hmm. for them. And that's typically, but you're seeing more and more often that funeral homes are more of an all-encompassing, not that we weren't before, because we always mm-hmm. have been, but now it's more so we're available to help anyone, which I think expands the amount of service that we can do anyone. And you could bring them in the door. And if you learn how to do all these different forms of services, that's a huge, huge tool that you can have moving forward in your career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that helps a lot too. It helps the community see that you're approachable too, which is important. It says you are willing to work with something that's different, which sometimes the industry is a little bit rigid, especially in the past, and it's great to see that things are changing.
Yeah, and to show the community that you're there to support anyone and everyone. And mm-hmm. I think people resonate with that because they were like, yes, you know, that's the way it should be, as opposed mm-hmm. to, we only do this and good luck to everyone else. Mm-hmm. That's tough. You still see a little bit of it, but I think we're getting to a good point where everyone's able to do so many different things. And frankly, funeral directors are very, very good at adapting and learning, because we have to do that all the time. So if there's a service that you've never done, it's like, we're going to figure out, we're going to work with the family, we're going to work with whoever the minister or whoever that might be, or the, like, anyone in funeral service. Like, before, it's such a tight industry, and be like, hey, I know someone that's done a Greek Orthodox service before. Talk to this person, they'll be able to help you, and things like that. And that's why it's so good that we're coming together more and more as a community, because then we're able to help families in a better way and make it seem like, yeah, we've been doing this for 100 years.
Yeah. Even if it's your first time doing it. I have to say, working in retail so long, that has given me the skill to have to work at like that.
Yep. Yep.
So I will thank retail for that. Absolutely.
That's huge. You have to be able to roll with anything that comes mm-hmm. your way, because there's going to be challenges. Have you had anything at work at the funeral home that has been a challenge that you've had to overcome so far while you've been there? I know you've been there for 3 years, so.
Honestly, I've been pretty lucky. I think one of the challenges was, I came into the profession at the end of COVID. So things completely changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But so a lot of people now are going towards cremations, memorial services, stuff like that, and not necessarily doing the traditional, see your loved one laid out in a casket. Mm-hmm. But so there's a lot of change going on in there, but adapting is what matters.
Yeah, I think that's super important that you're able to, every funeral home needs to be able to mm-hmm. do that, because otherwise you're just going to get left behind. I talk about this Absolutely. All the time. So people are probably like, oh, Michael, what's going on? But it's so true. Like, you have to be able to adapt. And it's something that our industry has lacked for a long time, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We all know it too. We talk about it. And now it's like, okay, we're actually taking action to improve on those things. Super huge, important, and it's going to leave us in a better place in 10 years as opposed to where we were 20 years ago, where it was a little bit more rigid. I think now we have some prominent people coming into place where we're able to do things that are going to serve everyone better.
Yeah, and honestly, it's changing, because the stereotype used to be the creepy guy in the dusty suit in the corner, and it's not that anymore.
Yeah,
and I think that's great.
I love that stereotype, though. I think it's
great.
It's like this tall, lanky, slender white guy with like ghostly skin, and he's wearing a long jacket and like a top hat, and he's just.
I mean, a top hat is a look, though. I mean, good for him. I think of Frank Reynolds. Do you ever watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Are you kidding me? Of course.
Okay.
My mouth's dry.
Exactly. Like, they nailed the stereotype perfectly.
So good. If you haven't seen it, you got to check out the episode of Always Sunny, where we're just looking up on YouTube or something, and it's got this guy, and he's a classic mortician, and Frank, like, messes up his face or something.
So bad.
And he's like, what am I going to do to like fix my face? Cause he's doing this pageant, and he calls in the funeral director. He's like, who better to fix my gruesome face. And it is absolutely classic. And that is the stereotype, like, hands down right there. And for us, I think it's just hilarious. We know, it's not real, but people still think it is.
Laugh, though. I tell people all the time, I'm a walking stereotype, because like I go for more of the goth looks. So I'm like, oh, a goth girl being a funeral director, man, original.
yeah. What made you actually think about this? I know your family had some influence, but what was it that pushed you over the edge in spite of the things that were going on at work? What were those things that were deep inside you that were like, funeral service is going to be for me?
My grandfather, who was my favorite person ever, he passed away 11 years ago. And when he died, he looked fantastic. Like, he looked like himself. And I thought to myself, I could give people that last look. I know I am capable of doing that. And, you know, and even when I graduated high school in 2007, I even remember saying to my mom, I should go to school for like mortuary science. My mom's like, Kaylee, you don't have family in it. It's going to be really hard for you to get into the door, which she was right. How many, like, back in 2007, she was absolutely right. So I just kind of, you know, shoved that in the back of my pocket. And then finally COVID, I was just like, I'm doing this.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it's a good time to do it. Your mom wasn't fully incorrect, because.
No, she wasn't.
10 or 15 years ago, whatever that is now. It was more like that, but now it's becoming less and less like that, where we're having funeral homes open up their doors to non-family members. And there's a number of reasons for that. Maybe because their kids don't want to get into it, or the industry is changing, or you have more corporate funeral homes buying smaller funeral homes, which honestly has been, I think, is a great thing. And I think it's going to hold us all to a higher standard. That's that's my take on all that. But now you have opportunities in an industry that is begging for people to come into it, because like, we need a funeral director. Yes. We need young funeral directors. It seems like there is a little bit of a gap between the generation, like I would say, like my father is, and then where sort of our age is, there was a little bit of a gap, a 30-year gap, where there were less funeral directors. Of course, there still are plenty, probably thousands, that are in that region of age, but I think way less than there were like the older funeral directors. And now there's a lot of younger funeral directors. There was that little bit of gap, and so it was a good idea and a good time to come on into it. And I love what you said about your grandfather. I think those little things make a big difference, and look how it's impacted your entire life.
It has.
That's what you have to think about.
Yeah. I mean, and just like I said, just knowing how good he looked and just how well his makeup was applied, I knew I can do that. And I was able to actually work on my one great uncle. He got buried through the funeral home I worked through, and he had a huge bruise on his head from probably about here down.
Yeah.
I covered it pretty well, like, you know, pat my back, bragging rights. But my cousin said to me when she saw it, she's like, Kaylee, how did you cover it? You wouldn't know it was there. So I knew, right. And that was pretty early on when I worked at the funeral home. So I said, all right, I think this is what I need. I definitely should be doing this.
Yeah. And once you get that little confirmation that you're doing the right way, like that is huge. Yeah. I actually just did that today. I had someone that fell, had a bruise on her forehead, had to cover it up, you know, although this was an interesting situation. I'm sure a lot of funeral directors have been in. This woman was older, like in her late 80s. And I think she was under some sort of care too. It wasn't like hospice, but it was like in-home nursing or something. And she fell and she hit her head. And that wasn't the reason she passed. I think it was because maybe she had a heart attack or whatever the reason was. She falls and hits her head. Okay. Doctor puts the fall on the death certificate. And we're always all like, oh my God, like, no, we're pulling out our hair because we know if the medical examiner sees that, they're going to be like, red flag. Nope.
Oh yeah.
Body has to come down here. We need to do the whole thing. Like that. It's going to get flagged every time. Rightfully so. Of course I understand it. But the doctor was like, well, I mean, she didn't die from that. That wasn't the cause of death. And so we're like, you need to talk to the medical examiner. And it was just a whole thing. And we were like, we're not going to go pick her up until we know that this is going to get cleared, because we don't want to be the ones responsible for anything before we have permission from the county for embalming and then burial, and the family wants to have a service and all this stuff. It was crazy. Ended up that the doctor like talked to the medical examiner and they said, no, like you can take that off, blah, blah, blah. Worked out. So this morning I had, because we had to wait to pick her up, because they weren't releasing her to us either. Just, and it's the same thing. We were like, we're not going to pick her up until we know it's gonna be okay. Didn't get released till late last night. So we had her picked up, had a embalmer this morning, immediately dry her off, dress her, casket, cosmetics, boom, 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 all in one day, which you don't see too often. And so, and then my makeup on top of it. So that was my day this morning.
Yeah. We had a very similar case. Couple weeks ago, actually, it was a trauma case, and it was the first time I got to really help on a full restoration. But suicide, like a real, was a real bad one. But I was able to assist on the case. It was we worked from 7 a.m. and we had to be at the funeral home at a different location at 11 a.m. We got done by 10:30 though, so we tag teamed it.
What'd you have to do?
We had to do a facial restoration on him. We had to put hair back in. So, it was a very unfortunate. Pardon me?
Was it more on the viewing side or the non-viewing side? Well, where was the biggest impact?
The biggest impact was, thankfully, on the non-viewing side.
That's a treat.
That's true. But I mean, he was able to be open casket, so.
That's always a really good feeling when you put in that little extra effort, a lot of extra effort, and then it works out and the family's happy. Forget about it. Like there's nothing better in the world than that feeling.
Yeah. We had to make a skull and like a skull plate and stuff like that. And like I said, we got it done in the time frame. So.
Yeah. And then wax and then hair. What did you get from the back of the head, or what did you do for?
We did from the back of the head. So, I mean, it was. They were able to be viewed, so, and the family was happy.
That's great.
So that was really the goal. And I was so honored to be able to finally do a full restoration. So,
yeah, it's a good experience to have. And you'll remember that for the future. When you do have more of those, you'll be able to handle it. And it's really a confidence thing too. When you're first getting started in the prep room, especially, you got to be willing to take some risks and just go for it. And then you build confidence and then you realize, hey, I can do pretty much anything once you get that. But it just takes practice and time and effort and persistence. And then you're reeling and reeling. Like, no matter what comes your way, I was like, I could probably handle it.
Yeah. My first day there, actually, at the funeral home, my boss says to me, do you know how to do old lady hair? Yes, I could try. Tosses a wig at me and goes, you're up. And I'm like, all right, I could do this. So if honestly, I think if he did it to test me, all right. Because his normal stylist actually broke her arm and he knew I could do hair and makeup. So.
Ah, nice. Nice. I have purposely and deliberately tried not to learn how to do anything with hair. So I don't have to add another thing that I have to do every day. So now I'm like, no, let's call the hairstylist. I'm not, that's not my best ability. Yeah. Even though I know, like, for a fact, like, I could learn it. Like,
yeah.
You know, not saying that I would be the best in the world or anything, but I think I could pass.
Absolutely.
I've deliberately said, no, I think we're better off.
No, I'm the opposite. I'm like, oh, you want me to do makeup and paint nails? I'm on it. That's what I like to do. I've actually had other people. I know a lot of, like, funeral directors, just because I told you before you're speaking, there's a lot of family owned places where I live.
Right.
And I've had people reach out to me. Oh, my normal person isn't available to do makeup. Could you, like, come over? And so.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. You're getting a reputation then, and that's a really good thing. Yeah. I like doing it too. Like, don't get me wrong. I like getting in there and making someone look beautiful, and I do it. And it's a very gratifying thing that we're blessed to get to do to make these families' last memory a good one.
Oop, that's a death call here. Hold on just a second. All right, I think the students got it. I'm sorry about that. You know, we've been seeing a lot more business come in ever since we started mortuary marketing. And I got to tell you, all the funeral homes we work with, they're saying the same thing. So what do? We run ads on Google and other similar sites that get directed at families that need a funeral home in your area. It then brings them to a page that we've designed for you that gets the family to call you to inquire for your services. It's really increased our volume big time. It's working for my funeral home, and I think most parlors could really benefit from its uses. I put a bunch of information in the podcast description. Go check it out. I'm always happy to help talk with you and answer any questions you might have. All right, let's get back to our morbid discussion.
How did you get into the funeral home that you're at now? How did you get involved with them? How did you get in the door?
So this is a funny story. And I was at my cake decorating job one day, and I get a phone call, and it's a woman I know. I make her cakes. Her husband actually worked with me. She runs a cat rescue. Okay. Catskit rescue. Well, my boss also, in addition to his funeral homes, he runs a pet crematorium. This woman that runs the rescue, she would bring, like, the cats, like passed away, or kittens, like, had fading kitten syndrome. She would take them to this pet crematorium. My boss's wife happened to mention to her, oh, he's so busy. Like, I wish there was just somebody to help him with, like, clerical work. She said, I know someone that's doing prereqs for mortuary science, going to go to mortuary science, like going to study mortuary science. And she said, okay. So they called me at my job. I'm thinking they want to order a cake. She says, the woman from the rescue says, I have somebody that wants to talk to you. I said, all right, yeah, like, put him on the phone. She said, I heard you're going to school for mortuary science. Can I have your number to give to my husband to give you a call? He called me the next day. I remember this clearly. I went to meet him on a Thursday. I started at the funeral home the Thursday after.
Holy cow. That's lucky in a good way. Like, you got in there.
I did.
You had a stroke of luck there.
Yeah. I always tell people, though, no matter whatever job, even if it's not even just the funeral service, that isn't the usual circumstance. So it's just one of those things that happened.
Yeah. It was meant to be, and you got here in the door. How do you like it there? What are your favorite parts, or if there's anything that you enjoy the most being at where you're at?
I honestly love the people I work for. They're very kind people, and my boss teaches me so much. He wants me to learn.
Yeah.
And I respect that so much. I mean, the biggest thing for me was my stepfather passed away unexpectedly 2 years ago. Awesome. And he was going to get obviously buried from one of our locations, and I wanted to help. I wanted to do anything. I wanted to help prep him. But he said to me, you could look at 1,000 people, but once it's a close family member, I don't want you dealing with that. And I respected him for putting that boundary up because,
yeah.
I mean, maybe I would have been able to handle it, but
yeah,
you know, yeah. I'm glad that he put that boundary up for me though.
That's nice. And that's very thoughtful. And mm-hmm. I mean, I've had to do a close family member of mine. It was mm-hmm. just about a year ago now. My cousin.
I'm sorry. Really
close. Yeah. Thank you. And it, to this day, was the hardest thing I've ever yeah. had to do. And, you try to stay as strong as you can. Mm-hmm. And, it just thinking about it now, it just
yeah.
to this day, it's just a hard thing. And it just reliving that is challenging. But then,
yeah.
you know, when you do that good job and you have to focus on, you're doing it for the yeah. person you love, it's, it helps. It helps.
Yeah, it's still hard.
It is yeah. so hard. And that's a really nice thing that, you know, your boss did for you. And I know, like, I'm a family funeral home, and I know mm-hmm. my dad was like, we'll let someone else you yeah. know, take care of him. And I was like, no, like, I want to be the one.
Yeah.
So it's just, it all depends on the situation. You know, he could have pushed me and said, no, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I still probably would have been really stubborn because I can yeah. be stubborn sometimes,
yeah.
but, you know, it's a good thing that you have that atmosphere of, loving and tenderness and generosity. Yeah. That's very important. Mm-hmm. The people who you work with at the funeral home, that's yeah. everything. Cause that's who you're with every day.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm a stubborn person too. I'm very stubborn, but something told me, just listen for once in your life, Kaylee, just listen.
I guess I don't want to come across like that. I'm so hard nosed like that, but
yeah, no, I get it.
With some things that I'm like, when you want to put your foot down, you got to put your mm-hmm. foot down. And otherwise it's very good to ebb and flow in both mm-hmm. ways there. What do you want for your career? Like, where do you see your future in funeral service?
I want to do trade embalming. I want to be able, I want to stay behind the scenes. I think that's because for my career as a cake decorator, I was in front of everything. And I just kind of want to be able to step back. And I really want to focus on being back to the whole makeup and cosmetizing people and doing restoration. I think it all just comes back down to that create. So.
Yeah. That's it's different for everyone. And maybe you've done, you did that for so long that you were the front of the scenes. It's mm-hmm. nice to be on the back. That's part of what I love about the prep room is that yeah. you could take a step back sometimes and regroup yourself, refocus. And it's, you're sort of in a different world when you're in the prep room. Nothing else really matters too much. And you could focus on what the task at hand is. Yeah. And, or if you want distraction, you could, I mean, I love listening to books and podcasts and stuff mm-hmm. when I'm in the prep room. And I think everyone's different. And I do like getting that. It's a little bit, it's tough work, but mm-hmm. for me, it's like a sense of relief sometimes for when you have a crazy, crazy, crazy mm-hmm. day. Sometimes, as long as it's not too much prep room work.
Yeah, absolutely.
That breath.
Mm-hmm. And as long as you're not too rushed to do anything, because almost when you're in the prep room, depending on how your day is going, you can kind of step back. You can work at your own pace.
Right.
Which exactly. is nice.
Yeah, it is. And it's good that you're getting you want to get that full experience mm-hmm. to be a well-rounded funeral director, because part of what's great about our job is that you can have different phases of it. Like, you could start, you can be only on removals, and then you could be only in the prep room, and then you focus on families and services. Like, as your career progresses, you can change in and out and still have that experience where it's not like you're changing the industry. Yeah. You're just changing what part of work, because a lot of people like to change up what they're doing every whatever 5 or 10 yeah. years and things like that, which is a really great part of what we get to do.
Yeah. I mean, I have worked front of the house a lot of times. And I do like doing that, but I think for my goal, I do want to step back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I want to be behind the scenes, like be like the silent one there. So
yeah, yeah. And then you get someone running back there and tell you, oh, the family loved.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a great feeling. That's a good thing. And
mm-hmm.
Trade work's cool. It's a different way to get your foot in the door with a lot of different people and meet mm-hmm. others and grow a business too. If you wanted yeah. to, you can start your own business, and it's cool that we have so many different ways that we can
do. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't put off not owning a business. My husband always, if he sees property, he's like, that's a great place for a funeral home. So
well, keep your eyes out, everyone, for Kaylee down the road's Edwards funeral home, maybe. But thank you so much for joining us today on your birthday week. How special.
Thank
you. Are
you
gonna be making yourself a cake?
Absolutely not. I don't like cake, actually. I don't like eating cake. An occupational hazard, I guess. Artist.
Yeah, well, that's probably for the best. Like, if I was a meat artist, I would be in trouble.
There you go. Yeah, I guess occupational hazard. Maybe I'll get myself a pecan pie. I do like that.
Yes, there you go. That's great.
Thank you so much for having me.
Birthday, and we appreciate having you come on, and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you having me on.